Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Hey, whoever said Thursday is the new Friday was spot on. Traffic actually starting Wednesday up and down the Garden State Parkway. It's just been absolutely insane, especially coming south. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Happy 4th of July weekend to all friends, families, whatever. Get together, enjoy the barbecues, enjoy the fishing and the crabbing. It's been nothing short of fantastic. Hey, man, we have to... I'm a pounder on the flounder. That fluke bite this past week in between the weather is going full tilt boogie. Some of the reports I've had, it hasn't been this good in years. Now, the most famous spot along the Jersey Shore, Cape May County, no denying it. I love the Peninsula County down there. Everyone from Ocean City on top, all the way down to the bottom, all the way up along Delaware Bay. Shout out to those at Reed's Beach, man, on 47, Tom P's old stomping grounds. If you're going to be in Cape May, get a chance, and you're coming in by boat and you need boating supplies, fishing tackle, whatever, the great Utch's Marina. Shout out to Ernie and Charlie there. Charles, I should say. Whoa, he's going to kick my ass. Down here at Utch's Marina, 1121 New Jersey Route 109 in Cape May. Everything you need, just a great family place, and great service. But back to the fishing, the crabbing, the shed's over. It is smoking hot. So listen, we have a really jammed show. We're going to be talking fluke in transition. Captain Scott Newhall. So grab that cup, grab that rebel. We'll be right back. Rack and Fin ready. Just please, whatever you do. We have the perfect weather weekend. A chance of a little bit of rain here, a little bit of rain. Get out on the water, man. Bay or ocean, lake or pond. Bass bite, freshwater bass bite, and pickerel bites are insane. Get out and enjoy. Oh, I'm too pumped. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio, 4th of July. I made it through another 4th of July weekend. Man, Tom P, man, I don't know, man. I'm never going to slow down. Be right back.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P on 97.3 ESPN.
Hey, you're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. We know July 5th and 6th. Happy 4th weekend to all. Hope everyone is having a great time on the water, in the woods, or wherever you are, especially with friends and family, or if you're doing a solo thing, that is A-OK, too. Listen, you're tuned in 7 to 8 a.m., 97.3 ESPN FM, streaming live on 97.3ESPN.com. Go to Apple, Spotify, YouTube, whatever, for other platforms for the Rack and Fin Radio message on the podcast. Okay, don't forget, July issue of Fisherman Magazine. Reed Hutch's editor's log on page 3 in the local section, and also on page 8G in the glossy section, fisheries reform and management mumbo jumbo. Absolutely make you want to pull your hair out. Hey, Flatties in transition. It's getting that time to report something I'm getting in personal experience and visuals up and down the Jersey Shore. Still some quality fluke fishing in the back. The fish are starting to move off, and the bite out front has picked up. So the fluke are definitely on the move. Some still coming in, some still going out. Let's get a track on this. Captain Scott Newhall, Timeout Charters, based in Upseekin. He's preparing for a charter right now as we speak. Captain Scott, how you doing, brother?
I'm great, Tom. Good morning.
Good morning. Scotty, fluke on the move. Now, they always seem to be on the move this time of year, coming in, going out. Have you noticed down the area you're fishing that there is a market increase in fluke getting out towards the inlet and getting out front?
Yes, I believe we're having a much, much better year than last year. We have fluke on the ocean side. We have fluke in the back bay. We have fluke in the inlet. And they're moving around. Think new moon. Think full moon. And if you get a little bit of a weather system after it clears out and the new high pressure builds back in, often you'll find fish in places they weren't before that low pressure. Like we had 2 inches of rain or whatever it was. I think Hamilton had 4 inches of rain. I'm heading out now. I'm wondering, I wonder what kind of movement they made after that kind of little 36-hour rain event.
Well, Scott, the subsequent runoff, pun intended, muddy the scene a little bit or a lot of it.
Yeah, it could look like Yoo-Hoo. I'm gonna know real soon. You know what's amazing? No matter how many years I've done this, you don't know till you go. Sometimes you're like, it's gonna stink. It rained. You had 4 inches of runoff. You remember all the outflows going to the water, unfortunately. But there's been times I thought, it's gonna stink, and you go out there and then water's clear and it's lit up. I mean, you really just don't know unless you go out there. It is strange.
Scott, any fluctuation now in water temperatures? It's going up, it's going down. For example, I had some readings, or I was told about some readings out on Little Lake Reef and Garden State South and Townsend. It seems everything's in a state of flux, and it's a crazy couple of weeks.
Right. So you get this up and down pattern. The winds have such a dramatic effect. Now, we had a nice last week when it was 100 degrees.
And I had no air conditioning, by the way. My relay switch in the Xterra finally gave out. That was an experience, but I digress. Go ahead.
Well, the most amazing thing happened, considering what took place last season. What happened this year was just a delight. There was no sea breeze in the afternoon. It was unbelievable. There was 4 days of blistering heat, and yet it didn't crank up 30 mile an hour out of the south-southwest. And therefore, the water stayed a little bit level in it where it was at. It didn't fluctuate too bad. And the bite, if you could stomach the heat, was incredible. Statewide,
wow.
One of the best four-day stretches. Everybody, bank keepers.
And Scott, there was some
in New York.
There was some sizable ones too. I spoke to some captains that are fishing off Long Branch of the Elberon Rocks, all the way down into Cape May, and it was just fantastic all around. Listen, again, Scott mentions the ocean breezes on page 30. July should have fishermen. I was going to save this for last. South winds blow. Had a fluke through it because you know the upwelling. Scott, fantastic piece. We'll get into that if you have some time in the next segment. But Scott, okay, this transition movement. You always hear flukes spawning in the back, you know, and then you catch them in the summer and I still have eggs in them. And the bigger, you know, the dorm. Actually, Scott, I weighed, was at a shop, I saw weighed rather a 6.9 and a 7.4 caught in the back bays. So there's still some big fish back there. A lot of forage or what?
Yes, there's a ton of forage. They're going to remain in the back bays for a long time. They're not going anywhere. So this is a great time of year for fishermen that prefer the back or prefer the front, or you can do both. It is the great thing about fluke is they could be in 3 feet of water or 120 feet of water and everywhere in between.
Right.
And it gives it, you know, some people just can't wait to get out to the rubble and the wrecks, and other people want to be in the skinny, and there's fish everywhere. Mm-hmm. This is a glorious time. As you put it in the intro, it is a transition time. But they're not missing from any one particular area. So you can target effectively all over the place.
Yeah, Scott, I spoke to a couple of guys that back bay fishing is for blank. You know, we don't do that. And these guys are the big fish hunters. And I said, well, these guys are great. They said, Tommy P, we know there's big fishing. That's not our forte. These guys are wreck jumpers, man, banging these big bucktails, 6-inch gulps, strip baits, whatever, on the rocks, rubble wrecks. So that's their game. Now, that bite out there started, and it's really percolating, Scott. And then still in the back bay, you have to hunt them around a little bit, channel edges from what I'm experiencing. But they are here, there, and like you said, everywhere. I love the transition time.
Yeah, it's great. It favors the vacation time of the year, along with the, you know, kind of local Sharpies, the pros, because – you know, the vacation guys will go stand on a jetty, a side bank, a dock near there where their rental is, whatever it may be, a bridge, and they're still going to be able to catch. But like you said, you can hit those wrecks, and they're really, people have been waiting on that wreck bite. It is taking off. Guys, sometimes if you get right on a patch and the drift speed's only 0.3, 0.4, 0.5, 0.6, and you get on a patch of fish, you can be limited out by 10 a.m.
Yep.
with four or five guys sometimes.
Scott, and when they start to chew in those situations, it's crazy. What do you mean we're done? Oh, wait, we can keep one sea bass as of July 1st. So you hunt around for that. I don't know, man. It can get crazy. Or, Scott, there are times out in this transition, they have the muzzles on. They don't want to touch a thing. That's crazy.
Right. Let's hope there's not too many days of that. Yeah. The one thing that's different about the backwaters versus the ocean during transition, if you have a choice, there's one thing that comes to mind, and I just had this discussion with a close friend yesterday, is that if the ocean bites a little bit spotty where you're at, it's, you know, a few fish here, a few fish there, you're going to spend a lot of time okay, moving around, less time with lines in the water. That is the advantage over the skinny water, the sloughs, the channels, the creeks, right. You know, the little veins of green water at Barnegat, or the creeks behind Absecon, or the bays behind Wildwood. Wherever you're choosing to fish, lines are usually in the water longer in the back bay. When you're in the ocean, you're going wreck to wreck to wreck, rubble to rubble to rubble. You're losing gear. You're retying gear. So in terms of just your baits on the bottom, the back bays and the inlets and places like that, you will find more time that way. And we still have all year for the ocean. So if you're not sure where they are in the ocean, but you are sure where they are in the backwater, sometimes it behooves a person to stay where they're certain they are.
Right.
I mean, experimentation, exploration in the ocean is coming. I mean, I was out there the other day. We got a few. I did a combo trip. We got a few keeps, and then I went back in and got more inside the inlet. So we did a little bit of both. Yes.
Yeah, join us on the line this morning. Captain Scott, I'll get too pumped for this. Captain Scott Newhall, Timeout Charters. Topic is fluke in transition. We're going to be up against a break in a couple of minutes, and Scott's going to hang in, thankfully, for another segment before they launch and get out there and box another limit or two, is from what I understand. So you are on a tear. But, Scott, now variations which seem to happen overnight, like in water temperature, how's that affecting you right now? In the transition period,
it can be dramatic. If it dropped a lot from that rain, like for example, I didn't go out yesterday after the rain, but if it dramatically dropped, it could definitely slow the bait down. That's when it's a good time to head out to the ocean, because you know obviously your runoff and your cool water rain is going to diffuse in the ocean as opposed to the backwaters. Whereas the backwaters, you know, that's a pretty finite complex, if you will, and it can be much more effective.
Well, Captain Scott, one thing I know, well, you know, my proclivity is my tendency to do more to fresh water than salt, but this is what gets me. Sometimes, even in the dead heat of the summer, the outgoing is better. No, it's the income. The bite seems to switch almost a day-to-day period, whether the incoming is better or the outgoing's better. Again, that's a few degrees temperature predicator, correct?
Correct. And, you know,
that drives me nuts.
It is very much that way. One day it's one tide, one day it's the next tide. Often, well, as your pros that are listening, your professional listeners, the ones who are real experts know, the safest time to fish 2 hours before high, 2 hours after.
Yeah.
And then you'll start to detect a tendency on the more of the mid rise and the mid fall, if someone is putting a 3/4 day out there, even a full day. When I say 3/4, I mean like a 6-hour day, a full day being 8 or more hours.
Uh huh.
And then you really get to detect where the fish turn on and turn off.
Okay, Captain Scott, we're up against a hard break. Hang in for another segment. People, grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio, Fluke in Transition. Ooh, we return.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Here we go. Look out below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Happy 4th weekend to all. Yes, I plan to sometime, probably going to be tomorrow, Sunday, set the July 4th record. July 4th weekend record, I should say. Consuming hot dogs. That is my, except for the macaronis. The hot dogs are my they are my downfall. We have Captain Scott Newhall. Sorry, Scott, a little non sequitur, man. I'm already thinking of the grill going crazy. I have stacks like a pyramid. The Eastern says, you're going to die. You're just going to die. And I have enough condiments to fill an Acme aisle.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Captain Scott, let's get to it. Yeah, none of this sauerkraut for me. I forget that. But, Scott, one thing I noticed as well, too, out front, it seems, changing from day to day, a moon influence or weather influence or what? Sometimes those currents, you got a perfect drift, you're going, and sometimes those currents under there are friggin' ripping, adjusting to that. I mean, sometimes you're out there with ounce, and you have 2 ounce, 3/4 ounce in some instances, and then you better bump up to 4, 5, or 6 if you want a chance of, you know, either positioning or getting that rig down into where the sticky stuff, where the fish are.
That's correct. So the morning shift is typically when you have the least amount of wind. As we mentioned earlier, you get the breezes in the afternoon with the high sun. So your time, for the guys who really love to jig 1 ounce, 2 ounces, some guys even less. That's going to be your dawn till late morning, sometimes lunchtime. And you have the lighter, the, you know, slower currents, and that enables one to really, really lighten up. Some guys, this has become a really specialized fishery where guys will downsize, I should say, to 20-pound test braid, even 15-pound press test braid, and they really want to jig the light stuff. And the morning's your time for that. So in the afternoon, what happens is the sea breeze kicks up. So all of a sudden, that 0.4 drift, right? All of a sudden, that becomes, one. Then it goes to 1.2. Then it goes to 1.5. And you jump up. You see guys with drift socks. All of a sudden, you see drift socks out on the reefs that are real long reefs where you're going over structure sporadically. I am not a drift sock. I am not a drift sock fan. I will use my engine to stay over the structure. Many others use the trolling motors. There's so many trolling motors out there, it's unbelievable. That puts people right on top of the pieces that they want to stay on. Drift sock's more of an old school thing. It's kind of almost obsolete. But if somebody wants to drift for like a quarter mile, and relax, it will work.
Scott, on that light jig stuff, shout out to Stanley, the Ayatollah of Flucarola Gola. They're from OG Jigs, original gangster, badass jigs, man. But he's a proponent of that light, and he'll cast ahead and work the light stuff back. Other guys are there 4, 5, 6 ounces, and they're stashed with a 3/4 or 1 ounce or 1/2 ounce, and he's putting fish in a box. Working that drift, working that current. Yeah.
Every method works. It becomes a preference thing. So if you're going to just let your boat drift and not bump troll it backwards where you stem the current, then you are going to end up using heavier weight. If you're willing to back troll, you can go down to 1, 2, 3 ounces. The thing is, your crew can't panic when you're netting a fish or you get busy and you can't bump troll. All of a sudden, you scope out. But that's only temporary. And all of a sudden, people start letting out line. It gets a little bit messy.
Oh, yeah. he said that for my benefit. Denise says, why don't you listen to Newhall?
Yeah. I mean, it happens to all of us. And then you get your tangles, but that's all right. So then you have your trolling motor crew that do the same thing as the back trolling, but it's more smoothly done. The back trolling's been done for a million years. Now the trolling motor is the same effect, but it's more of a smooth operation. In fact, guys plug in numbers and speeds that are trolling motor the night before. Some real tech experts. They're pretty impressive that way.
Yep. Scott, one topic I think is important, again, because of the vagaries, the so capricious, the currents and the traffic, whatever. Inlet avenues, inlets right now, again, pick your times, people. We know that, okay? But you still have to remind them. Inlets right now, especially, Scott, are like fluke highways. Inlet avenues, as I prefer to call them. But working those properly, like you're looking for depth drop off, you're looking for a lot of rubble on bottom. What's the dealio for inlet success in the transition? They're going out and they're coming in. What do you got?
Well, you want to be at the intercept points, but you want to be where the most favorable bottom is and the depths are. So, generally speaking, you want to be dead center of where they are passing now. I can use my inlet here, which is Absecon Inlet, as an example. They cruise the whole thing. You have them on the edges.
Yep.
You have them in the deep water. You have them every which way. They at the connections to the ICW. They're all worth addressing. When you figure out a pattern, that's when you shorten up your drift. Happened to me the other day. They were coming over when I drifted over this call it like a plateau where it dropped off kind of towards Mankiller Island. There's a red buoy there.
I know that is, yeah.
When I came on the downside, they were just stacked up. I had to work through a million shorts, but they were stacked up and grabbed a couple of keepers. So then once I determined they were hanging there, then I just I stopped drifting a longer drift and started hammering that area. You shorten your drift and you try to really target exactly where they are.
Okay, Scott, whatever I was going to want to know is, okay, enough of that, Tumpy. Baits, choice of baits, and if you're bucktailing, color bucktail, size bucktail, or if you're even just using a plain jig head, Scotty, top baits in this transition time, is it a matter of just putting something in front of the face, they're going to eat it, or can they be persnickety? What's the dealio?
They can certainly be persnickety, yeah, curmudgeonous fluke. I got to match your vocabulary, Tom. So I'm a live bait crazy guy, and I love having my big live minnows. But sometimes they get just whacked and chewed up by even the smallest fluke. So on the live bait scene, I'm waiting patiently for those peanut bunkers to show up, which
right.
They're here, but they're just small. So they gotta grow up. So in the meantime, if I was parking a doormat, I would go down to Disco Dave at Absecon Bay Sportsman, and I would grab myself a dozen live spots.
Spot are hot, Newhall, right? Oh, my God. Did I see some fish caught on those this past week? Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And also, Scott, so one of the biggest ones, shout out to, I'm just going to give his initials, D.I. up there in Waretown. Not quite double digit, but pretty close. In the back, Scott, 5.5 feet of water with a spot. He found a couple in his crab trap or mini trap or whatever. I guess it was a crab trap, and he said, let me go out anyway, add some free time, and bada bing, bada boom.
They're just a standby. The bigger fluke love this spot. There's one downside to the spot is you get every 16, 18-inch fish, like, or even 15-inch fish will chew up a beautiful $3 spot. Gets lit up by a crab or,
yep,
or a throwback. It kind of hurts your feelings a little.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get out of the live bait, and of course those other live baits will be here, the peanut bunker, the mullet later, but then your other option becomes your Berkeley Gulp. Johnny Proctel.
Shout out to Procky.
Lives on forever. He's your guy for good reason too. Unbelievable. These kids that jig it well, old men that jig it well, you do it right, Tom, you do it right. You can put the crush on them. 6-inch has been for the longest time the best option, 6-inch gulp grub.
Mm-hmm.
Except I like to throw the 5-inch in there. I really like the 5-inch, especially in the bay. Or if, as you said, they're persnickety, that 5-inch seems to draw some strikes when things can be a little little bit of a struggle. That was something they made, what is it, about 3, 4, 5 years now, the 5-inch grub?
Yep.
I love that. I absolutely love the 5-inch. So, big fan.
And, Scott, I'm seeing increasing numbers. And I tell you, this is guys been doing it for years, but I guess it's finally coming to light like everything else, and the electric motor, spot lock, and all that crazy stuff. But, Scott, guys using like the 3-inch shrimp or 4-inch shrimp or 4-inch swimming mullet above as a teaser. And you're getting some big fish on the teaser as opposed to the bucktail below with the 5 or 6-inch grub on it or a swimming mullet on it. It's amazing.
It is amazing. In fact, if you were to do a little bit of a survey, most trips, the teaser will get 2/3 of the fish over the one with the ballast. The ballast obviously being the one that serves as a weight and a hook. And then just when you think you have it figured out, all of a sudden the bucktail or the jig catches everything on the next trip. So then you also have the other option is like an old school high-low rig with just a dipsy, a bank sinker on the bottom.
Right.
And you have a dropper, two dropper loops, about 3-4 inches. It doesn't matter.
Right.
With a hook that, you know, an octopus hook is fine. And you put two gulps there, and then you jig away. You just don't have a bucktail and you don't have a jig, but it works. And it's simple, and it's actually cost effective. So there's another way to go about it.
Scott, one thing, too. Again, the shout out Captain Lou Van Bergen on the big and beautiful Miss Barnicot Light up there. Scott, he broke me the other night. He said, Tommy P, they want the meat. And he's a big gulp guy, glow or white glow, big gulp, white. There are times when guys are on a boat, strips of mackerel or, you know, strip of sea rod or something, any kind of strip of fresh squid. The fish sometimes, Scott, especially out front, are keyed on meat as great as the gulp is at attractants or whatever Procknow's formula is. They want flesh.
Yes, meat. Meat was something that was a much bigger deal before gulp was invented, but people forget about it, and it is just as effective as it was then. Whatever kind of meat you can get your hands on and fish legally is definitely the ticket, bluefish, mackerel.
Mackerel strip, yep. And Scott, remember, I was about, God, man, was it that long ago? About 12, 15 years ago, the salmon belly craze. Shout out to Johnny DeBono with the fisherman on that one. He'd fish up in New York for the salmon and bring home the strips, you know, cure them or whatever. Scott, the salmon, and I'm, what is it, Violet, Marin, somebody down at Chestnut Boatyard, told me the salmon bellies are the top fluke bait out there in the Mullican and was that Great Bay?
Yeah, Violet and those guys down there love their salmon belly in years past, without a doubt. I've even used chicken strips.
Remember chicken strips for the with the cheddar oil for the weak fish? No, you're too young to remember that in Delaware Bay. Oh man,
I was a kid then, and not all of it works. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with being experimental, right?
Yep. Scott, one last question before I let you go. I know you're getting ready for that charter. Tell the charter thanks for being patient here, but I want to get this transition thing in and out. Scott, your choice when you are bucktailing, your choice of jig head shape. I'm a round guy from 1,000 years ago using Andrus, whatever. I find they snag a little less than the minnow-type spro heads that seem to find every little crack to get in, and you can't get them out. What do you prefer?
I'm a round guy, just like you.
Okay.
I don't know why. Because if I leave it go sideways or whatever, it still faces the same way. That's how I
right.
like it. Whereas if you had like a ultra minnow style and you just momentarily have it down, it's going to lay on its side like it's dead.
mm-hmm.
Like it's a corpse. I don't know. I'm just a round guy. Like, if you jig it right, it's not going to matter really that much. And you give it the proper action. You can do the snap jigging if you have elbows of steel.
I don't know how these guys, Scott, I see some guys, I guess they're veterans, guys my age, and I'm what, a septuagenarian, and they're snacks. Did you have like implants or something?
Uh-huh.
You have titanium elbows and forearms? That's crazy.
I can't do it. I did it one summer a lot, and I gave myself the worst tennis elbow in the history of the earth.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm out.
That can be it. Okay, Scott, I know you're tell the charter next beer and burger on me. Oh, Jesus, Scott, you there? Okay. he's on the water, people. Come on, we get him live here, man. We get him live. Scott, I hope you have your bug pants on.
It's great. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, but I'll tell you. And listen, and this other side, again, the natural bugs. I'm from the 60s. I'll drink DDT. You heard me say that. But, you need some kind of spray, natural or whatever. Give me the chemicals. Give me the 98% deep. Maybe that's why my skin looks like this. But, Scott, one tip for fluke and transition period. You're going out there. What is it? What to do or not to do? Go.
Biggest thing, the single number one thing, if you are not catching in an area, 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes, get out of there. Move. Go somewhere else. Don't stay there. Don't say, I caught here last week. Yeah, there's that whole thing. I caught here last week. That doesn't mean anything. That's old news. Jeez, yesterday's old news. Give something a shot. If it's not working, move. Move a couple miles. Move a few hundred yards. Change everything. Change.
Okay.
I don't think it's a bait thing. I think it's a location thing.
Okay, bait over location. Let's take that tip. And while I sandbagged you, Newhall, one last question. Have you found gulp color of the grub or swimming mullet ever makes that much of a difference, or is it the scent and the motion, the drift speed? What do you got?
I like the scent, motion, drift speed, and profile. I'm a profile guy, so I like the grub profile more than the color. But when in doubt, I'm always white or glow. When I'm in doubt, they're my favorites. Not even a close second. I guess you could throw the pink shine in there, and I carry every color. I throw it all on there, but. If they want that grub, I don't always think it's the color. So.
Okay, fair enough, Scott. Hey, listen, tell the charter. Thank you. And I'll see you soon. By the way, how are the boys and lovely mom, Melissa?
The boys are great. Speaking of, shout out to Dustin Voss, one of your loyal
Dustin Voss! How's that, man?
The Mullica folks. Hey, you know what his mom says to me? The best quote of all time. Got to have this on the radio. She says, the thing with fishermen is this. They're on one trip, and they're already thinking of the next trip. I said, you're a genius. That is the best quote of all time from a fisherman's wife. Already thinking next trip.
That is, how accurate is that? Out of the mouths of women, babe, come the greatest things. Scott, you take care. Be safe.
You know it, Tom. Thank you again.
And listen. May the people don't realize Yoda was a hell of a fluker in that swamp. May the limits be with you.
Got that right. Going for it.
See you later. Newhall, man, he is great. Fluke and transition. It is a time, man. Seeing still some great stuff in the back, moving more towards the inlet. So a fish go by Barnegat Light. Now they're Mary, Mother of God. Right from, I'll tell you exact spot burn. Stop. Everybody fish. Right there, that finger jetty to the left of the lighthouse. Whoa. Again, right week before, maybe there's nothing there. Right there, right by the inlet, man. The fluke are on the move in and out. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Happy 4th of July from the locker room with Billy Schwein. On Saturday morning, Nick Earnshaw joins me in the studio. The Phillies welcome the Reds to town before they head west. We will recap all the action. Hour 2, Mr. Negadelfia, P.J. Korda checks in, brought to you by the Vassar Pool Service. Mr. Negadelfia will opine on Philly sports. Then the Beach Patrol report with Jack Brooks is next, brought to you by McCann Realtors and the OCBP Lifeguard Alumni Association. This week, we will talk with the chief of the Longport Beach Patrol, Tom Krez. It's the locker room with Billy Schwein, Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to noon. 97.3 ESPN.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Yeah, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of July 5th and 6th. Happy 4th weekend to all. You're tuned in to 7, 8 a.m. 97.3 ESPN FM. Streaming live on that slot, 97.3ESPN.com. Go to Apple, Spotify, or YouTube, among other platforms, to get the Rack and Fin Radio podcast, which they'll usually post probably by sometime this afternoon or tomorrow, maybe Monday, but it will be out there as soon as we can get it, as soon as possible. Talking baits here and there. We have the sheep's head bite going on. You can get the one sea bass now. Ling going on if you're going to be bottom fishing. But I'll tell you, one of the most effective baits, especially for striped wide, what I see with stripes over the years, again, about 2 years ago, it started to come, like maybe 3 years ago. Shout out to Noel down there at One Stop Bait and Tackle in AC. When he says, Tom P, I have sand fleas, man. They are a killer bait. Now they're catching, things are catching everything. The effectiveness of sand fleas, I said, let me key in on one of the coolest bait guys I know. Man, he just goes by the name Emmett. You can get him on Top Notch Tackle on Facebook. The effectiveness of sand fleas. You want to catch, especially if you're going after sheeps, you know, fiddler crabs are supposed to be the best. You want to put your depends on if you want to watch Tom P trying to corral fiddlers out there on the marsh. Sand fleas are it. Hey, Emmett, thanks for joining us. I know you're probably out there on the meadows right now getting your killies, your minis, whatever. Sand fleas, Emmett, you explained, even in a frozen format, they are just, they're mole crabs, absolutely deadly. When did you come on this? I know you've been using them for a long time. When did you find this all of a sudden? Hey, man, you know, sand fleas are a great bait. When did you start hearing that?
Well, I'd say about 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
About 4 years ago, a friend of mine, we both experimented with sand fleas going for sheep's head. And they were absolutely deadly. Absolutely deadly.
Now, you wonder, let me interrupt you a second. But you wonder, sand fleas are in the surf, right? What the hell? Yep. And then the sheep's head. Now hopefully we can get stuff straight now. Get a sheep's head expert on next week. You know, they're in there in the pond eating the crabs and the pilings, the mussels, the barnacles, whatever. How the hell do they get the sand fleas back by the bridge abutments? I have no idea. Emmy, you think it's the smell of these things or what?
Well, a lot of it, I think, has to do with the roe. When they carry roe,
ooh,
you know, you'll see the eggs on them. I've seen the bites is a lot better. I think that has a lot to do with it.
And Emmett, you got getting sand for yourself. I mean, it looks easy, but a lot of work involved in that. The thing is keeping them alive and healthy for an extended period of time. What's involved with that?
Well, you got to keep them refrigerated, one. Two, you got to keep them clean. So what we do is we wash them consistently every day with salt water.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have... They actually urinate on each other, and it's actually deadly. So if you wash them off each day and keep them nice and cool and refrigerated, mm-hmm. you know, not at a too cold of a temperature, they'll stay alive for at least a week.
Now, I mean, how many of these, forgive me, you're going for sheep's head, for example, or whatever, how many of these you're putting on a hook?
Well, I put two or three on like a 3-0 hook. Some guys do one. I've had a little better success putting a little bit more on there.
And I'll tell you one thing, listen, again, use the green. I like the green. By the way, there's a big market now for green crabs. There's a company up in Massachusetts that has a green crab broth. They've been around for years. They have lobster broth and regular blue claw broth and clam broth and oyster broth. And I honestly got a little non sequitur. Yeah, I'll give you the information offline here, but making green crab broth, that's amazing. But for tog, especially along the jetties, Emmett, will you turn me on? Those sand fleas are killer.
Absolutely, Tom, absolutely. I caught a 60-pound drum on one sand flea.
Whoa. Yo, you're talking to Tom P. here, man. What? You caught a what on what?
A 60-pound black drum on a sand flea. I had a single sand flea on a 3-0 hook I was togging, and I ended up hooking into a 60-pound black drum.
Mary, mother of God, did you think you had a world record blackfish or what?
I thought I had a huge bass, actually, but it ended up coming to be that it was a big drum. And it actually made the cover of the Fisherman. There's a good picture of it.
Yeah, I guess sand fleas, man, it just be like pizza. Like everything eats them. I mean, everything eats them.
Everything. Bass eat them. Weakfish eat them. I've seen flounder caught on them. Obviously, tog and sheep's head. Yep. It's unbelievable.
Okay, we're speaking with Emmett from, he's just known as Emmett, from Top Notch Tackle. You can check him out on Facebook, guys. He's absolutely amazing. He's out there, you're out in the meadows, 5 o'clock in the morning, you get in, 8 o'clock at night, in between, and then you go fishing, right? this guy is something. Emmett, two last questions before I let you go. I know people, you heard that before. Crowding the sand fleas, you want to keep them alive, you want to store them for a couple of days, a week, whatever. Do you spread them out a little bit, maybe two containers, and any type of special container to drain them, whatever, from the urine that can be lethal?
So what we like to do is we get like 2 5-gallon buckets, and we drill holes through the one that you sit them in, and then you put the other solid one underneath, so okay. It closes drainage for it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like I said, as you wash them, you know, you pull them out of that drainage and you dump the urine. You don't want that urine on them because they will die quickly.
Wow, yeah. Emmett, too, again, there's, what's it? Shout out to Bayside Dave there. I haven't talked to him in a while. You have leftover sand fleas. You have sand fleas that are dying. Like, you boil them for a quick second till they blanch, turn a little bit red, and vacuum seal them and freeze them. And, Emmett, I've used frozen sand fleas. They're pretty damn effective, man.
Oh, yeah, blanch ones, they call blanching them. They work pretty effective as well. I've seen, we also vacuum seal them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yep.
Yeah, you can vacuum seal them when they're still alive, and they work great. We've used them a lot as of late because it's been hard to get, at the beginning of the season, it was hard to get them.
Right.
The water being so cold.
Yeah, but sand fleas, when's the prime time to harvest them? Is it, May through October? What's the deal?
Yeah, May to October is your best bet. October, it seems, when the water starts to cool, is when it starts to get hard to catch them. You know, they start to burrow down deeper and deeper.
Hey, Emmett, I had a great time when I used to work and live down in Ocean City area, off 23rd Street and the Boardwalk. Yeah, that's a spot. Okay, spot burn. It's a long stretch of beach there at the island. Emmett, putting sand fleas, catching big the big kingfish. Man, they love the sand fleas.
Oh, yeah.
You catch
everything.
Okay, and before I let you go, listeners, top-notch tackle. Real quick, Emmett, I don't know if you're protein or what, when do you find time to tie those outrageously great rigs?
I put it in throughout the day, Tom.
I think you do it in your sleep, Emmett. This is a great guy. Check out Emmett on Top Notch Tackle. It's on Facebook. Emmett, I know you're jamming out there getting bait for this weekend. This next July is always an incredible fishing month. Guy's going to be busier than all get out. Emmett, you take care. Be safe out there. I'll see you in your travels. I run into Emmett at a tackle shop here, a tackle shop there. I see his rigs on pegboards. Pick up a couple and just great stuff. Emmett, you take care, brother. Thanks for your tips on the sand fleas.
All right, Tom. Have a All right, Tom. Thanks, man.
So, hey, be safe out there in those marshes, man. A few longer than that. But September 1st, opening a railbird season. Guy says, don't be stepping out. New area, okay? Don't be stepping out. God, I've done this before. I've been on the Metas before, right? Went up to my nuts in muck. So you got to be careful with that stuff, man. I think they wanted to leave me there because I kept yapping, and the birds were flushing out of 50 yards. Okay. Emmy, you take care, brother. Be good.
All right.
So. See ya. He just goes by the name Emmett. I'll tell you, man, good guy. Sand fleas, they are what's my term? The cat's ass? They just catch everything. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Hey, this is Josh Henning, inviting you to join me this Saturday for Hanging with Henning, 12 to 3 p.m. on 97.3 ESPN. We'll talk about the state of the Phillies 3 weeks before the MLB trade deadline and the state of the Eagles 2 weeks before the players report for training camp. This Saturday's guests include AP senior NFL insider Rob Motti and 97.3 ESPN.com Phillies insider Frank Close. Hanging with Henning on 97.3 ESPN is sponsored by Yesterday's Creekside Tavern, South Jersey's best sports bar in Marmora. Boxing Insider Promotions presents Summer Boxing Action at Tropicana Atlantic City Showroom on July 25th. Columbic Performance Method in Egg Harbor Township and Dr. Squatch Natural Soap. That's Hanging with Henning this Saturday, 12 to 3 p.m. on 97.3 ESPN FM, the 97.3 ESPN mobile app, powered by First Bank of Seattle City, and streaming live on YouTube and X in the Dr. Squatch virtual studio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
After our final segment, Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Glorious July 4th weekend. Okay, it's fun around the Absecon area. Brigantine, a lot of things going on. Family fun, especially on the water. You got your crabbing, climbing, whatever. Put in a call to Captain Dave, the Rave Shoal. Absecon Bay Sports Center, 81 Natalie Terrace in Absecon. A lot of family activity always around Absecon Bay Sports Center, especially this time of year. Captain Dave puts them on the crabs. Kids want to catch spot with a rod and reel. Captain Dave, you have a cornucopia down there, little brother. How you doing?
Oh, man, the weather's been terrible. The wind's been blowing, a lot of rain, but now the weather finally is broken. They're giving us a perfect summer, starting out with a banging 4th of July weekend. Get the kids out on the water. The crabbing right now, all the shedding's done. The crabs are hungry. The crabs have all shed out and they're fat and big. Oh, yeah. You're going to get as big a crabs of the year and definitely more of them.
Uh-huh.
And while you're doing that, almost anywhere there's crabs, there's fish to be caught. I've had a lot more perch they're mostly in the creeks upstream, but I've even heard some along the bridges and Route 30 going in Atlantic City.
Yeah, yeah.
Real quick shout out to an actual county park that doesn't get near enough attention. Up on Mott's Creek, the county has a beautiful dock set up.
Yep.
Especially for kids. You could take kids. They could great perch fishing, spotter all over the place. And the crab in there is fantastic. And it's all for free. And
Dave, just a reminder, bring the bug spray.
because that is the town bird of Botts Creek.
The green.
It's the greenhead. but serious, on the other hand, if you got your kids, if they're big enough or whatever, if you want to sneak next door to lunch, is Botts Creek Inn, and there ain't a better hamburger and the cold adult beverages to go with it.
Their hamburgers are the size of my head, Dave. That's a great place. Absolutely great place. Hey, Cap, I'm seeing some spot getting caught now that are almost a Tom P. put in a frying pan size, bro. Fish bites, clams, sabiki rigs. What's the deal for the spot?
Well, the sabiki rigs and fish bites, when they're biting, you can't beat it. Sometimes you gotta resort to some blood worms if they're a little thin. If the numbers just ain't there and there ain't competition. But a chum pot. You're going off a dock or somewhere. Take a chum pot with you with some clam tongue or even
there you go.
Chum, and you're gonna turn everything on.
Dave, everything comes to you. Everything comes to the chum line, people. It's just great. The kids will have kids, especially when 70 years old, will have a ball. A lot of rod bending on. Well, Dave, how's the lovely Judy? How's Kevin? How's the voracious and ferocious sugar?
I think Sugar's getting more ferocious. He's getting so possessive of Judy, she don't even like me to come up to her. But seriously, we got the flounder out there. I don't want to forget them. If you got a boat, put the kids on the boat. The flounder is the best we've had in years.
You ain't lying.
Now we've had a water temperature has just edged itself up beautifully. The flounder are coming in, and they're really looking for food everywhere. So it doesn't matter where you want to go. You want to get away from the flies, go out to the reefs. They're already on fire.
Yeah.
They're catching them off the beach. You'll go off the beach and find a, you know, find a jetty or find a rip line where the tide's running out of a gully. There'll be flounder there right now. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait till that fall fight. The flounder on the beach. They're in the bay.
They're everywhere, man.
Get out and catch them.
Okay, Cap. We'll see you next week, man. Thanks.
Okay. We'll see you. Thanks for calling.
And, of course, we have to go to Fanatics on West Avenue in Ocean City, America's most favorite and famous family resort. A lot of fishing, a lot of crabbing going on, and it is a family encounter. Billy Wiggins at Fanatics. How you doing, big brother?
I'm doing great, Tom. How are you?
Lock, cocked, and ready to rock for the weekend. I'm going to set a record for eating hot dogs, and we know that. Denise already Denise already has my will and everything out and the insurance policies. Billy got great crabbing, got great fishing, and you have courses, only have the beaches. What is happening? Good family on the water activity, crabbing, fishing. What do you got?
Oh, it's going to be a great weekend. The weather's beautiful for this weekend. Yep. The fishing for fluke around here has been really good. One of the better springs and summers that we've seen so far on the fluke side of things. Even though the minnows are next to impossible to get, everybody's catching them on gulp, mackerel, and squid and all that other fun stuff. But no, the fluke fishing's been really good. So guys have been doing it in the surf a little bit. The morning's early, catching them in the back bays.
Uh-huh.
Been pretty good.
Billy, some of the crabbing out there, man? Was that 12th Street gazebo still there?
Going, yeah. Crabbing's gotten going. You know, it was a late start because we had a little cold snap there. So in the beginning, the water never really warmed up, but it's got going now. So we're in the prime season starting now with the
Billy, crabbing. One last thing. Any
12th Street, Second Street.
Yep. Don't say Second Street. No, holy kid. I got Phil half a bushel there on occasion. Bill, real quickly, small bluefish, and what about the Royals? Any kings showing up in the surf?
There's some in the surf. It's been weird year so far with the kingfish. They've been there, but not in the numbers that we're used to seeing. So it's, you know, guys going out picking a few, but the weird part is they're still catching bluefish in the surf, which I guess that balances it out.
I tell Billy, the one thing I really just enjoyed all my years down there, getting in that bend there, Eddie Bronson, you know, told me about the shell beds there, but down at Coors Inlet. Listen, you just throw out a high-low rig there, put it in the sand spike, and something is going to come along and eat whatever you have out there. But that's a great place.
It is a great place. It produces year after year after year. The only downside is once the summer gets here and you get past 10 o'clock, then you got a million jet skis and boats going. But
that's
there bright and early, and the fishing's good.
Bright and early. Okay, Billy, thanks. Hey, best to Chrissy and the kids. Have a great 4th of July weekend. I'll see you next week.
All right, Tom.
Take care, brother. That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P., 97.3 ESPN FM. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders. Remember, 4th of July weekend, Independence Day, the sacrifices that were made. See you next week, Rack and Fin Radio.